Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I did.
My soul is delighted.
My spirit is ignited to be with you on this Monday morning. I want you to know that if you want to call in and listen live, you may do that at 347-850-8854. Again, that's 347-850-8854. If you want to call in to the live broadcast, which is on Monday mornings, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, and of course the various times in the U.S. as well. I want you to know also that we are out there to make it easy for you to listen to us on Facebook. There are three places on Facebook: on my personal page, Alfie, A-L-F-I-E, Wines, W-I-N-E-S. That is probably the easiest place to find it. But you can also find it on Gospel Jazz as well as Living Water Drinking Deeply on the Facebook pages. You can also find it on LinkedIn. You can find it on Twitter as well as Google+. So any number of ways to find us on the broadcast on your internet. And of course it's 24/7. So if you 8:30 or 9:30, depending on where you are in the morning, is not a good time. I want you to know you can listen 24/7 almost immediately after the broadcast is over. What a joy to be living in such wonderful times of technology and communication where we can do that. I do want you to know that we are here to help you get your morning started, to help you get your week started, to help you get your day started, to help you keep moving and grooving throughout the month, throughout the year, throughout your entire life. And so good morning to you. I see my listeners on who are listening live, and welcome to you on this morning. I recognize some of my team members from One Positive Way, and I want to give a good morning shout out to you and to everyone else who is listening, whether you're listening now or whether you will be listening at some later time. This morning, I want to talk about love. You know, if you look in the headlines, you know, it really doesn't matter what day it is. It seems that there's always something going on. And I want to suggest, not in the positive way. I mean, there are many positive things that go on in life, and we know that. Of course, they don't get reported. We know that as well. And yet, it's important for us to be aware of what's going on in our world and what's going on in our lives and what's going on in our communities. And so, therefore, you know, we pay attention to various news feeds and so forth. And I just want you to know this weekend, it just kind of got my attention. We had something happen at a prom. We had something even happen in a church on yesterday morning. There was also another incident over the weekend where I don't remember all of the details, but there was a minister, and he and his girlfriend got into it, I guess, is that's what the story is. And the girlfriend was taken into questioning, thinking that she was the one who had done this deed. I mean, there are just so many. There were a couple where, multiples, one of them where, and I don't remember the city right now, four or five members in one family, at two different locations, I think. And maybe there was also another one that was multiples. And, you know, just so much. And then, of course, you know, all the stuff on the international scene, everything from what's going on with the various wars going on. And, you know, I keep up with the Daughters of Nigeria out of course, Boko Haram and all of the things that they're doing. And story this week where it was talking about how the women sometimes get raped by as many as 15 men or so in the same day. You know, it's just, the point is, it's just horrific. And all of the different ways that humanity finds not to love one another is just totally endless. And whether we're talking about in our communal lives or whether we're talking about our individual lives, we can see in so many different ways that the love is just not there. And I can imagine it just grieves God's heart to know that we have such potential to be loving toward one another, and yet we in our relationship, again, individual and communal, we find ways to be unloving. And so I want to remind us this morning of the importance of love in our lives, in all of our relationships, more than a sentiment. Love is work. Jesus summarized this command when he said to us that we are to love God, to love others, and to love ourselves. And I love it the way he put it, because so often people will talk about loving God and loving one another, but they forget about the importance of being kind to ourselves as well. You know, if you are not, if we're not prayed up, if we're not in a spirit of peace, if we are not at ease in our lives, we're going to make some really bad decisions and really make, relationships worse, make relationships go bad, and not be able to figure out what it is to do to mend them. And that's true. I want you to know, in this whole broadcast this morning, I'm thinking not just about our individual personal lives, but I'm also thinking communally how it is that if we are not in the right frame of mind, we're just going to continue to do awful, awful things in our relationship and all the way around. And I just want to remind us of the importance of love in our lives. And I want to talk a little bit about how it is that love is not just a sentiment. Love is not just wishing well for somebody and thinking good thoughts about somebody, those kinds of things. I want you to know that there is a lot of action and sometimes a lot of difficult action. And sometimes we have to work these things out in our spirits and our hearts and our minds and work them out with God so that we can be loving toward one another. The scripture that I want to lift up this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John. And of course, we know Jesus lived his life in a way that was loving to everyone in every situation, and that's regardless of whether he was healing, whether he was teaching, whether he was critiquing the Pharisees for how they lived and how they taught. That's the church folk. That's what today we would call the church folk. Certainly Jesus is critiquing all of us. And so I want us to think really hard about what does it really mean to be loving? What does it really mean to be compassionate? What does that require of us in our hearts and our minds and our spirits? And what are those kinds of actions? What are those kinds of things that we need to do in order to be loving? And I want to suggest that Jesus in his life showed us everything from little bitty things like washing somebody's feet or maybe cooking dinner for them or breakfast, as the case was at the end of the Gospel of John. It's all the way from little things like that to the big things, which, of course, in his life included teaching and preaching and healing, but also what he endured through. I want us to understand that all the way from the little things to the big things, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about love. It is certainly more than a sentiment. It is certainly more than a good, happy feeling about somebody. No, it's about what are we willing to do to contribute to invest in someone else's life. The passage of scripture that I want to lift up this morning comes from the Gospel of John. And it's in chapter 13, and I want to read beginning at verse 12. Now, where this shows up in the text is after the supper, or in the midst, I guess you could say, of the supper, what we know as the Lord's. And by the way, let me mention before I read the scripture that what he had done was take off. They tell us that the men in that day wore three sets of garments. There was an upper layer, or we would call an outer layer. There was a middle layer, and then there was the layer that was closest to the body. And so what Jesus had done was take off this upper layer. Now, this, when he did that, in effect, according to the dress standards of the day, once he took off the outer garment, he was indeed wearing what the servants wore. He was wearing what the slaves wore. And so he was, in effect, putting himself in a position of servantship. He was putting himself, in effect, in the position of persons who had the least power, who had the least standing in their society. And he put himself in that position in order to, in effect, preach a message. He was actually preaching a message and teaching in the act of what he was doing. So the scripture picks it up from there. And in verse 12, we read, "And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know that what I have done to you, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example that you should do as I did. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, if you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you, for the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread and has lifted up his heel against me. For now I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am him. Am he? Truly I say to you, he who receives whoever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Now, continuing, that's kind of the setting for this. And then Jesus will talk about his betrayal. He will talk about love, and then he will talk about Peter and his denial. And what I want you to catch about this is Jesus talks about love in the midst of all of this horrible stuff that's going on around him and in his life. He knows he's about to be betrayed. He knows going to deny him. And right in the middle of betrayal, talking about betrayal and denial, he talks about love. I want to read the rest of that for you, so I want to be sure you get the whole picture of what's going on here. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know which one he was speaking of. There was reclining on Jesus' breast one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore gestured to him and said to him, "Tell us, who is it of whom he is speaking?" He, leaning back thus on Jesus' breast, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus therefore said, "That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him." So when he had dipped at the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Jesus therefore said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, "Buy the things we have need for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. And so, after receiving the marshal, he went out immediately, and it was night. Now, here Jesus is going to, you see that that is the betrayal piece. Now, listen to what Jesus says. When, therefore, he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in his himself, and will glorify him immediately. And, of course, Jesus is talking about the crucifixion. Then he goes on and he says, little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also love one another. And I want you to notice, he said it not once, but twice. And then he goes on to say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay my life down for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I say to you, a cock will crow, shall not crow until you deny me three times. Wow. I want you to get the power of that. I want you to get the significance of that. Here Jesus is talking about love in the midst of betrayal and in the midst of denial. He was so awesome. He was able to stay focused on the main thing. What do we call it? Keeping the main thing the main thing. He was able to do that and to focus on love in the midst of knowing that those who sat with him at the table, those who had been with him throughout his ministry for 3 years, he knew that everything was about to come upended, that he would be betrayed, he would be denied, that they would run off and leave him. He understood all of that, and yet in the midst of that, he was able to talk about and give them a commandment. He had already shown them what love is about. You know, we say, you know, the phrase, what have you done for me lately? And in this case, Jesus had just washed their feet. What an awesome example of love. And knowing he was on his way to the crucifixion, what an awesome example of love. Now, we can see in his life that love is more than sentiment. Love is action taken on behalf of another. And so I want to ask us this morning to think about our lives and to examine our lives and to ask ourselves, are we being loving? You know, God is always moving us to a higher level of love, to encouraging us to broaden our perspectives, to broaden our circles of love, to broaden our understanding of love. He's always moving us in that direction. And so I want us to ask ourselves this morning about our relationships. You know, it is all about love. It is all relationship. You know, Tina Turner asked the question, what's love got to do with it? And of course, it's a rhetorical question, because actually love has something to do with every area of our lives, every aspect of our lives, every relationship in our lives. Love has something to do with it. And when that is missing, we know that something is awry and going wrong, and it needs to be fixed. It needs to be healed. It needs to be mended. It needs to be restored. And, of course, God does all of that for us. If our hearts are open, our minds and our spirits are open, we can live those kinds of loving relationships. So I want to ask us on this morning to examine our lives in relationship to the commandment that Jesus gave us to love God, to love one another, and to love ourselves. And so I want to ask you this morning, what do you do in terms of your relationship with God? How do you express love in that one-on-one relationship with God? Do you neglect that life? Do you neglect that life by not reading scripture or not praying, not gathering to worship? What are some of the ways that you express that love? And then what are some of the ways that you neglect that love? And we know that loving one another is an aspect of loving God. And so I want to ask you, who was the last person that you mistreated? Who was the last person that you said something ugly to that maybe you should not have said and regret it later? Who was the last person that you mistreated? Who are the persons in your life that you are mistreating? I want to ask you to think about that and figure out how to be kind and loving in that relationship. Ask God to show you what does it mean to be loving in those circumstances, in that relationship. Ask yourself, am I being loving? How can I be loving to this person? How can I be loving in this circumstance? And then also I want to ask us in terms of loving ourselves. I'm so glad Jesus included loving ourselves, our own self-care, because in our day, in our world, in our time, you know, people will let us, you know, they will let us just drain ourselves completely and have nothing left to give. And I want to suggest that we need to take care of ourselves on a regular basis. If you look at the life of Jesus, he did that on a regular basis. He told the disciples to come away to take a break. He himself even went off by himself all alone to spend time with God. And sometimes he even did that all night long. We know that he prayed all night long on the eve of when he was choosing who the disciples would be. All night long. Have you ever prayed all night long? Has your heart been so broken? Have you been so torn up about something that you just had to pray for hours and to pray all night long? And I want to suggest that that's not only a way of taking care of our relationship with God, but that's also a way of taking care of our relationship with ourselves. Do something good for yourself. Go get that massage. I happened to hang out with a friend yesterday. Go do those kinds of things that bless you and that fill your soul, and so that you can take care of yourself, so that you can have share God's love with somebody else. And then you can also have that ongoing relationship with God. You know, you don't have to stay away from God because you did something wrong. Just confess it and keep on stepping. We serve an awesome God who loves us so very much, who wants good things for us, who wants the best for us. And so on this morning, I just want to leave you with a word to remind you to examine your life, to understand that what the world needs now is love. You know, Hal David and Burt Bacharach and Dionne Warwick, they got it right when they said what the world needs now is love. That's always true, and we can always find ways to be more kind, to be more loving, to be more compassionate, to be more understanding. So I challenge you this week to find some ways to be more loving throughout your life, throughout all of your relationships this week. So as we close the broadcast this morning, I want to remind you that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. God wants good things for you more than you want them for yourself. I want to let you know on this morning that God loves you so much, it will take God an entire eternity to give you all of that love. So as we close the broadcast on this morning, I leave you with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. The Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. Until the next time.
Okay, I did.
feel a breakthrough coming your way. It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day. Signs and wonders, miracles to perform. God is gonna bless you for just holding on. Just hold on. Change is coming. I feel it in the air. It's in the atmosphere. Just hold on. Change is coming. A move of God is on the way. A move of God. Your midnight to turn a sunshine, yeah. It's gonna happen. You wait and see. All things are possible to them that believe. Just hold on. Change is coming. I feel it in the air. It's in the atmosphere. Just hold on. Change is coming. A move of God is on the way. A move of God is on the way. A move of God is on the way. A move of God is on the way.
Yes, it does.
Oh yeah.